Do you want to just, like, start by, like, introducing, like, ourselves, or do you want to just, like, jump right into the questions? Like, hit record.
I'm testing it right now, and it looks pretty good. So, I think we're good on everything right now.
Do you want to be, like...
We don't have to introduce if we don't on the recording.
Okay.
I think we're okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, sweet. Okay. All right, is it...
Yeah, do you want to just start off about talking about, like, where you were born and kind of just, like, the background?
Yeah.
What kind of background?
So you were born in Nicaragua, correct? Mm-hmm. So just kind of just talk about, like, your childhood and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
Well, I guess we could start with, like, where and when you were born. Let's start with something specific.
Okay. I was born in Nicaragua, and I lived with my grandparents until I was 1 year old, and I was born in the countryside, and then my parents decided to move to the city, and so I grew up in Managua, the capital.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
What is your, like, education history? Like, did you go to school in Nicaragua, or did you do that when you came to the U.S.? Like,
No, I went to, I have an accounting degree.
Okay.
And so I did that in Nicaragua.
Okay.
And so, when I came to the U.S., we came 5 years ago.
Okay, wow.
And so, I learned English mostly by work pressure.
Oh, yeah. That'll do.
And so I enrolled into the MBA program at EMU a year ago. So I'm completing my first year
in
the MBA.
Okay, cool.
Oh, nice. And then when you said was it just you coming over, or was it
my
your
husband.
Family? Okay, your
my
husband.
Husband. Yeah, I met my husband in Nicaragua.
Oh.
He was an MCC. MCC is a Mennonite Central Committee.
Okay.
He was a service worker for the Mennonite Church.
Oh, okay.
And so he went to Nicaragua for 4 years of service. So we met there, and we dated for 3 years.
Mm, oh, nice.
And then we got married, and he started working in Nicaragua as a local worker for the same organization.
Oh, okay.
So he pretty much ended up being there, like, for a total of, like, 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And, and so we got married in 2006. I was just talking with some friends, and I just got married, like, 2 months after I finished my college.
Yeah, that's definitely
like
a big change, yeah, for sure. So you said that you grew up, like, on the countryside, and then you moved to the city.
Yeah.
What was, like, your experience, like, growing up in the capital, and, like, what was that like, being there?
You know, so growing up, actually, I was, like, maybe 1 year old when we moved from the countryside.
Okay.
So, living in the city, it was... Nicaragua is very limited in education resources.
Okay.
So, what I just remember, if you wanted to... The main thing for me, I really enjoy reading. And so, if you wanted to read the good books, I remember walking... like a mile and a half to get to the library.
Wow.
Or more.
Yeah.
And there was a, in front of my high school, there was a government building, and they had a good library.
Oh, nice.
And so, but then you have to walk back home.
Right.
And it's dark.
Yeah.
And so I remember going after classes and spending maybe an hour and a half. But you cannot check out books.
Oh, really?
So you can only read there.
Oh, wow.
And so you will be like, okay, I finish in page 146.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
I will pick it up tomorrow.
That's crazy.
So you have to be very disciplined.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So how is your education? You said you got your degree in...
Accounting.
So how is that process like, going to, like, college in Nicaragua? Is there any conflicts or anything like that?
I went to a public school, a public university, and actually in accounting, the public university was the one that it was pretty hard to get in. It was cheap. The problem in Nicaragua is not that you can only not afford college because your family needs your income, so you have to work.
Oh,
Okay. It's not that it's expensive.
Right.
But my parents were very supportive, so I applied for the university. You have a test that you have to pass.
Okay.
And it's very competitive. But I got in accounting, and it was a 5-year program. And I really enjoy kind of studying and networking.
Okay.
And so I got into the student union. And so I did a lot of networking and research for international trade agreements.
Okay.
And so all their student unions were also focusing on that. And so we were working, like, in the Central American region, doing education about the impact of international trades, like CAFTA.
Yeah,
because it had a lot of impact on education and women.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Was there, like, a culture of migration, like, where you were from? Like, did you know a lot of people that, like, either left Nicaragua to go somewhere else, or, like, people that went to the U.S.? Like, do you know a lot of people that left? Or?
I knew a lot of... not in the city.
Okay.
In the city, I guess there was a lot of migration, mm-hmm. internal migration,
okay.
from the north, all the countryside, to the city.
Okay.
But, yes, I remember a lot of migration from my hometown, mm-hmm. because that's close to the Costa Rican border. And so a lot of people, you will know that half of my aunts and uncles are in Costa Rica.
Okay.
And it is very common, that kind of migration.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know a lot of people moving to the United States. Nope.
Okay.
Most people migrate in Nicaragua. Most people migrate and to Costa Rica. And if you see it right now, if you see with Nicaragua is struggling mm-hmm. politically right now, but you don't hear about Nicaraguans and the immigration caravan that is coming to the U.S. right now.
Right, right.
So they still migrating, but they like to stay closer. And I guess we don't have the language barrier. And so people just cross the border and go to Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
When things settle, they go back. Oh, they back and they go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nice. So before moving to the U.S., we'll talk more about that. But did you have any, like, preconceived ideas about the U.S.? Any, like, perceptions?
Yeah, definitely.
Of course. Let's hear.
Yeah. We have a lot of... So I was born in 1983. So we have a very long history with the United States, and like the U.S. help to set and finance a what is it called? What is the word that I'm looking for? Dictator mm-hmm. for 45 years in Nicaragua.
Oh wow!
And so finally, the Nicaraguans were able to organize a revolution,
mm-hmm.
And so that happened in 1979. But then, since the revolution, there were a lot of, pretty much, they wrote a new constitution, and there were, like, more rights given to women,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of social changes and changes in the distribution of wealth too. But there was also more were financed by the United States. So we had the revolution in 1879,
mm-hmm.
and then we have 10 more years of war.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, that I can definitely remember, like,
yeah.
bombs, airplanes dropping bombs and
wow.
stuff like that. And even coming to the U.S. is funny, because sometimes I meet people and they were like, oh, yeah, I was in Nicaragua in the 80s, and I was working in the aviation, and I was like, yeah, maybe you were one of those dropping
yeah.
bombs, those bombs that I still remember.
Wow.
And so when I met my husband, we had a long 3 years negotiation, because I didn't want to come to the U.S.
Really?
I think that if I ever thought about marrying somebody, oh, it was not from the United States. That was for sure.
Huh.
So it was very interesting, because I, and even agreeing, kind of talking about getting married, I'm like, yeah, but we can live here, right? We don't need to go to the United States. So It was very difficult to think about coming to the United States.
Yeah.
We even have like a counseling session. And
really?
It was so, they call it like the, it was some friends that were doing a master in psychology.
Okay.
And so they have, they call it family constellation. So you are in a, you have like an audience. And there were like 20 people in the room. And then you are the couple that is doing the counseling. So each of you is invited to choose from the audience who is going to represent your family. So you are like, oh, okay, you can you be my sister? Could you be my... And so they ask you to arrange your family. And so I chose my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my country, and me. And so I put them, my idea, my mom, my dad, my brother and sister, I'm the middle child, and then my country in front.
Yeah.
So my husband chose his mother, father, sister, him, himself, and the country. It was a big, tall guy from Italy.
Interesting.
So I remember that then they ask you to introduce your fiancé to the family, and you go, and my husband is... He went and did a big bow to the family and to the country. And then they asked me to do the same. And then, for me, that was the end. It, it's not, it wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
It's that I was standing there and thinking, I'm like, I'm just going to move my head to, you know, that's a recognition, that's a reverence to the country.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, my body didn't move.
Huh.
And then they asked me, like, okay, this is over. And I can do this. And then I turned back to the guy representing the U.S. And my body, for another 5 minutes, didn't move. So then that was like the breaking point.
Yeah.
There were obviously a big difference between us, like our countries.
Yeah.
We have big,
yeah.
Yeah. So we discussed about that, and that was when we made an agreement. Okay, okay. He was like, you know, I'm from the U.S., but I'm from a Mennonite community. I put a lot of energy and time and community development and making my community a better place. So I think that I would like you to come to the U.S. and meet the family, the people that, you know, didn't bomb your country, that didn't finance the war.
Right.
They were pretty much, like, against that. And so we made that agreement, and that was when we, okay, we can get married now. And so we lived with my family for 2 years.
Okay.
After we got married, and then we came to the U.S., and we lived with his parents in his community, and we went to church, and I met all these other people, and then we went back to Nicaragua.
So you said 5 years ago you came?
Yes, but I guess 5 years since we have our kids.
Okay.
I came that first time.
Okay, okay, I see.
And yeah, we, I kind of got to know his family, I kind of know Harrisonburg,
yeah,
and
yeah,
pretty much like the Mennonite community, and yeah, and then we moved back to Nicaragua.
Okay.
We,
and how long were you back in Nicaragua?
5 years.
5 years again, okay. And then how was that transition coming back into the U.S.? Was it intended to be permanent, or did you think?
No, I don't think it's permanent. I think I wanted to get my citizenship, because that's the other part about immigration. It's not once you are a U.S. resident, it's not that you can just go back to your country and stay there.
Right.
So you have some legal or immigration status that you can, you has to protect.
Right.
And so we were in Nicaragua for 5 years, but we has to do a lot of like special permits. And so when we came back, I knew that I couldn't go back to Nicaragua for many years,
right,
because I needed to, because I didn't have any, if I decided to go back to Nicaragua just to visit, I was taking the chance of not being able to come back to the U.S.
Okay.
And so my only choice was to stay solid in the U.S. for 4 years and then apply for citizenship. And so I did that. I didn't travel or do anything like that. And then I applied for citizenship. I just got my citizenship like a month ago.
So you got your citizenship, like, separate from being married to your husband, or was there, like, something about, like, him being a U.S. citizen? Because I know that there's, like a K-1 visa thing where, like, people can come over and, like, get married here, or, like, there's, like, different, like, routes you can kind of take, like, were you just kind of, like, on your own, like... Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you were saying.
Yeah.
And I think it wouldn't be the case... It would have been the case... I got married in Nicaragua. We didn't get married in the U.S.
Right.
Sometimes it's difficult when you get married outside the U.S. It's better to do the fiancé visa, come to the U.S. and get married.
Yeah.
That's the easy one. Some people, like in our case, like I wasn't thinking in coming to the United States.
Right.
Like right away or anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They told me that my visa was going, my paperwork, it was going to take between 6 months and a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
So I got married soon after I finished college. Then I applied for that, and then they gave it to me in 30 days.
Oh wow!
And then I was like, oh, I'm starting a new job. I'm excited about my job.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to the United States right now.
Right.
So I has to. So they told me, okay, you can deny your residency and apply again.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any other choice. I came. It was a really easy process. And I can easily identify what happened. My parents-in-law went to Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. They went to the embassy. They signed in Nicaragua the affidavit of support.
Okay.
And she made a special connection with the person interviewing us.
Okay.
They went to the same college. And I don't know what happened there, but something made everything easier after that.
Good.
So we got everything finalized in 30 days, and that wasn't usually the case.
Right.
And so that was my experience, and I do acknowledge that that's the best way for most of the cases.
That's just the one that I've heard of, you know, the most. Like,
yeah. And some, I have had some other friends that they got married in Nicaragua, and then their husband was in the U.S. trying to bring her.
Right.
It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have another friend that it was the same. An NCC service worker married over there for more than a year. Oh. And she's still there trying to get her papers.
Wow.
It was pretty... sometimes when you think about immigration, in some cases about, like, luck. There is no... Pretty much the person interviewing you decide how is the process going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So... I know that you, like, with the whole story about the, like, kind of, like, counseling sort of thing you did, like, obviously you had reservations about leaving. What were some of, like, I don't know, like, your fears or, like, concerns, like, specifically, like, I don't know, you're leaving your family or, like, adapting to, like, a completely new, you know, culture? It's just,
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just, like, the image of, international image about the U.S. is about... Especially in Central America, like the damage that the United States have been doing with financing war, and it's an economic strategy. You know, if you control what they eat, you control their people.
Yeah.
If you control every time that something big, major war happened in Nicaragua or happened in Central America, then as soon everything is okay, the U.S. gained more power. All the companies, it's not... Think about it. It's the government... are the big corporations the one they create the crisis and then they gain markets.
Yeah.
And sharing the markets. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to come to the U.S. because I'm like, what kind of people live in the U.S.?
Right. Yeah.
What kind of... Like, what are their values? Like, really?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I just didn't want it. I don't have any desire of coming to the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. We have 3 years of negotiation.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you still, like, kind of dealing with that? I mean, do you feel like, I don't know, like
I feel like when after these elections...
Mm-hmm.
And I told my husband, this is exactly the country that I thought it was. I'm like, all these, you know, I don't blame it on the people that are working for USCIS. but it must be really hard when you are working and you're used to following rules and policies and be ethical and your behavior and comply with everything mm-hmm. at your job.
Yeah.
But then the law is changing.
Yeah.
And you are processing paperwork that is sending people away and dividing families. So is that about you?
Yeah.
Or is it about a system? So if you were the person that you used to send a letter saying, hey, by the way, you know, we still need these other three documents for your case.
Mm-hmm.
And now the new regulations say that instead of saying you need more paperwork, they just get a letter saying present to the court because you are in a deportation order.
Right.
And so it is pretty hard to differentiate the people that work in the system and their ethics and the system itself.
Yeah.
So it's still pretty hard. I feel like with all these changes right now, this is the country that I didn't want to come to.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of feel that.
Yes. Mutual feelings. I would love to talk more about you coming here for the second time, which is like the time now. If you would like to talk about, did you end up here in Harrisonburg when you came over with your husband?
Yeah, my husband's family from the Harrisonburg. So, and now we have two kids. When we came, my youngest child was 7 months old and my oldest child was 2 years and 7 months. And so we mostly moved because we wanted the kids to be close to their grandparents from this side of the family. And my husband only has one grandmother alive, so we wanted them to meet them.
Okay.
And so we came to Harrisonburg and, you know, looking for jobs and all that stuff. But what do you do when you have kids that are so little?
Right.
So it was pretty difficult. And I didn't want to leave them or send them in a child care. For me, it feels like too much. And so we played the immigration game. But I wanted to work because I'm very independent and I go nuts with kids and home and just baby talk. I really need grown-ups. And no, I cannot be in home. It's not healthy for me. So I started working for a few hours in a bowl of good.
Okay.
So I was helping in the kitchen. I'm like, at least this is getting me out.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband was working for New Bridges Immigrant Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as he came home, a few nights per week, I was working there. Then I'm like, ah, no, this is boring. Let me find something different. And so I applied for a job in First Step because most of my work experience was working with women and domestic violence prevention.
Okay.
Or women and empowerment, or women, and so fair trade and all that stuff.
Cool.
So I wanted to work on that field, but also my background is accounting. So my husband told me about a job in Evans.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll apply. So I grabbed the phone and I call this office, and they were like, "Are you available?" I'm like, "Yeah. Come now for an appointment to get the paperwork."
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually an interview. And they were like, "Okay, here are the paperwork, apply." I'm like, But the same day, I get a phone call from the other place offering me the job for working in First Step as a case manager. But then I'm like, no, I want to try the financial field because to do something different.
Yeah.
And so, I applied, took a while to get it, but I got the job. I was an MSR, member service representative,
okay.
For 3 months, and then they offered me the branch manager position.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you start here?
4 years ago.
4 years. Okay.
So I was pretty new. I have learned a lot.
Yeah.
Good. I would love to talk more about your kids. So you said they were born in Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
How was that process dealing with documentation and stuff like that? Was pretty easy.
Pretty easy. When they were born in Nicaragua, and they are U.S. because of their father, they get immediate citizenship. So we just went to the embassy and completed the paperwork. They were kind of mean in the interview.
Really?
Whenever they have power, they can use it. So they were like, why did you wait 5 years to have a baby? Did you have any abortions? I'm like, they were awful.
How dare they?
But anyway, after the interview, they gave the paperwork. And for the second child, it was actually even easier.
Oh.
They didn't ask any questions. And they just gave them the paperwork.
Yeah.
They even got the their passport, the U.S. passport, faster than the Nicaraguan passport. In a month, they had everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is all of your family back in Nicaragua? Are there any family members in the U.S.?
My sister came.
Okay.
So the way that I arrange childcare, it was that my mom came to take care of the kids for 6 months, and then my sister came and helped me with the kids because I wanted to keep them in home and with family, and so they can still have that connection.
Yeah.
So my sister finally met her husband here, and they got married, and so now they live together.
They live here.
Mm-hmm.
In Harrisonburg?
In here.
Oh, okay.
Three blocks from my house.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's
so
great.
And she's moving next, in the house next door.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. That's picture
families,
perfect.
Families to stay together.
Yes.
That's important. Awesome.
Yeah. So let's see. Was there any, like, initial kind of, like, when you first arrived, was there any kind of, like, culture shock or anything? Did you experience any, like, firsts, like, I don't know, like,
and like when I came with the kids or when I came,
I guess,
with,
when you came, you know, the,
by myself.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Like, I didn't speak the language.
Right.
I knew nothing.
Yeah.
My husband, as soon as he came to the U.S., he got a job. So we came on a Friday. He started working on Monday. And I after 2 weeks, I'm like, dear, I'm ready to go back home. So, or I get a job, or I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And so, but then I went to OCP. They had a community activity, and I met a lady, and she asked me. I saw a little boy walking, and I looked at the baby. Oh, cute. So the lady was like, do you like kids? I'm like, I don't know what she's trying to say. My husband interpreted for me, and he said, I say, yeah. And so she's like, she was the director of Rivera Webb Childcare Center.
Okay.
And she's like, if I have an opening, I will let you know. I'm like, cool. And so she called me that same week, and they had an opening. And so I practiced. My husband was asking me all these questions, and I was answering, like, what's your name? Where do you live? And so anyway, when I went there, I, like, couldn't say anything. I was so shy and so read, and I couldn't say. It's like, she knows everything. They were very nice, and they were like, yeah, go and see the job, come over tomorrow and work the entire day. If you like it, you can, that's your job, you
cool.
know, you can do it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. So I went there, and I like working with the kids, and I learned a lot. And I really wanted to work with kids, because they said, if you want to learn the language, work with kids, and they don't have any problem in letting you know that. So yeah, I did that. It was fun. I really enjoy.
Nice.
So it was close from home, so I was able to ride my bike 2.6 miles and then come back.
Were there any like negative experiences, like maybe, like we've talked about, like kind of like a negative reception, like when immigrants come,
no.
like there's like stereotypes, things like that. Like, do have people ever like given you a hard time about? Like,
no, actually, I have a different. So I feel like my first like visit to the U.S. it was kind of the honeymoon. You don't actually talk. You're so quiet. You're so cute. You know, like, you don't actually express yourself because you don't know the language.
Yeah.
And so, but the second time that I came, then I wasn't that great anymore.
Yeah.
Because you start seeing how are the church dynamics and how are the politics, and you were like, huh, but I don't agree with that. And why is the church doing this? And how? And so then people were like, oh, let me tell you how we Mennonites do it. I'm like, cool. You're so open and so different.
Yeah.
But when somebody's questioning the way that you do something, and so, yeah. So I think it has been, the cultural shock has been more in the second part, when I can talk and understand right. and express myself.
Yeah.
And I had different interests than just learning, and I knew I was leaving. Mm-hmm. And this one, I know that I'm leaving, but I know that I'm staying a little bit longer, and that, you know, if this is not fair for me, it should not be fair for my kids either.
Right.
So let's make some changes.
Yeah.
And so I joined, like, there's an activity, it's called Hope for the Future. It's pretty much Leaders of Colors and the Mennonite Church asking for changes in the institution, hmm. and not just in the church, also in the church agencies, like Evans is one of them.
Okay.
Very
cool.
Nice.
So would you say that, like, the reception in Harrisonburg, like, of immigrants, maybe not just with your, like, unique experience, would you say it's, like, overall positive? Like, do you feel like it's an accepting place to come, like, for immigrants, or, like, I don't know, I guess elaborate on
you
that.
You know, I have a lot of privilege. Yeah. I have education. I have a legal status, and now I'm a citizen.
Right.
I get a job mm-hmm. that I'm pretty sure that the first engagement for, or the first thing for this job, it was they knew my husband. They knew my husband's family. Right. You were very well seen when you come from service outside the country,
yeah.
serving for the Mennonite Church.
Right.
So I got a lot of benefits that I don't think other people have.
That's true.
And yeah, I don't think that... I'm not a good person to compare with
mm-hmm.
other cases.
Mm-hmm.
I know a friend that I'm trying to help her, and she has 3 daughters. She has a deportation order.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody does anything about it. You know,
right.
it's like, so nobody has asked anything to a lawyer or
yeah.
there's any other way to, I don't know. I feel like people in Harrisonburg are very nice and very kind, and they are very willing to help if they connect with other people.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not very open to people that are not that. So it is confusing. It is complicated. Like, if I think about the members in my church, you know, they go to all the march. They
mm-hmm.
have a different way of thinking. And if they knew a person in need, they will try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they only relate with white people
yeah.
that doesn't need any
yeah.
help.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's the double side of, I don't know, it's
yeah.
complicated. But anyway, maybe
that's actually, like, very, like, fair point. Like, we've been talking about how, like, overall, like, receiving, like, communities or even, like, people in general, like, are more... Like, if they know someone who is an immigrant, or if they, like, kind of, instead of, like, othering people, I guess would be the
mm-hmm.
best way to describe it, like, a lot of people sort of, like, see difference rather than, like, seeing, like, similarities. Like, they're not very like me in terms of, like, their language or their, like, culture or whatever. So, like, I'm going to separate myself from them and
mm-hmm.
not really, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so that's, yeah. I guess
yeah.
That, I mean, that's exactly what you were mentioning.
Have you talked to your kids about your immigration story at all? Does that ever come up?
You know, it's amazing what kids learn and how they interpret everything. They know about immigration just because we have this friend that has 3 kids. And they know that, you know, things are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have TV in home, so whenever they hear news
mm-hmm.
or they hear stuff, they really pay attention.
Mm.
I remember that they went to visit their grandparents one night, and my parents-in-law have a TV, and they watched the news. And so my oldest child, it was last year, he was watching the news, and they were listening all about immigration and all these changes and all that, and they knew that my mother was coming. And so he started crying and crying, woke up crying. He's like, what? Mimi's not white. Mimi's not from the U.S. You're not going to let her come in, Mommy. I will never be able to see my Mimi.
Oh my
so
gosh.
They get it.
Yeah.
They know it.
Wow.
And yeah, there is no way that you can avoid that. You know, and sometimes they come in and say, So their parents don't speak the language, you know. They don't speak Spanish or they don't speak English. And so are they going to be deported? Or they are not white. Are they going to be deported? And so they repeat all these stereotypes mm-hmm. from the schools, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what they see or what they learn in the schools. And it is. There's almost no point. They come with us to all the immigration stuff because we don't usually leave them behind.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try to respect that they are kids and that they are learning. And whenever they come up with questions, we try to answer in the best way possible and trying to, you know, don't scare them, but tell them what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like my situation has not been anything difficult, and so it has not been that stressful. So
mm-hmm.
That's good. So, like, talking about, like, a multicultural family, has that influenced anything, like, in the schools? I know, like, Harrisonburg's very unique because they have a lot of languages mm-hmm. spoken there. Is there any, like, anything different that you find in the schools when you have, like, a multicultural family like that?
No.
Like the community, maybe like the other parents or teachers or anything, like,
you know, I'm really bad because with this master, like I rely on my husband and
yeah.
how he connects. He works for the school system.
Oh, okay.
And so he takes the kids with him in the morning and he comes with them in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty much the one who is in charge of that.
Okay.
I think, but the first year that Sammy was in Waterman, the way, you know, I grew up with my parents coming to see me in school and bringing me like in a snack at 10 a.m. So I got used to see my parents every day
yeah.
during school.
Yeah.
And so I did that for Sammy the first year. I went to have lunch with him every single day.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:30, I was in the school. I would warm up his lunch in the microwave, and I would jump in the car and be there. It's so close.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in 4 minutes you're in Waterman. That I got to know a lot about the teacher. I think the teachers were kind of annoying to have a parent there every single day.
Mm.
But I was able to see how they interact with the kids
yeah.
and set some boundaries.
Yeah.
With the teachers and with myself and expectations, maybe they don't get that kind of interaction with other parents, but for me it's like my parents did it for me.
Yeah.
Why should I, if I'm able, why
yeah.
shouldn't
yeah.
I do it for my kids? There were a couple things that I didn't like it, and I name it right away, and she's like, if you ever need to talk to you know, she was referring in a very loud voice to a child. And I'm like, okay, by the way, here I am. If you're referring the way that he's communicating to me, why don't you communicate with me and
yeah.
talk with the child in a different tone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do that to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was, I don't quite relate with the school system. It's just because I just don't have time. I leave work and I go to study. Sometimes I have classes until 10. So.
Okay. Oh, 10 at night?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Let's see. How does Harrisonburg compare with the capital back in Nicaragua? Is it like, you know, big city, I'm assuming so, and then coming to Harrisonburg is like relatively small, so.
It's small, but Nicaragua is also small, and the city is not that big. I feel like the main issue is public transportation is awful.
It's awful.
If you don't have a vehicle, you
yeah.
just...
Really or
you
bad.
Just
yeah.
So I ride my bike, I walk because I was better off walking than waiting for the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was when I came here the first time, if I wanted to take the bus, I will have to walk a lot and then wait for the bus, and then the bus will take forever. Actually, I was able to get home in 50 minutes and it will take me an hour to ride the bus. So, public transportation. I don't enjoy driving.
Yeah.
I hate it. If I can catch a ride or go with somebody else,
yeah,
I would love that. But, public transportation. That was a big thing. The other is that the city is not it's not very welcoming. It doesn't have, like, a main place where people can get together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Nicaragua and the main cities, you have, like, a park in front of the church. But people interact and they have a common place. And in Harrisonburg, downtown, if you're not in a restaurant, where are you at? It's
mm-hmm.
like, there's not a place with benches and a water fountain or something pretty where you can sit down and enjoy being with friends. Yeah. No, I don't
yeah.
see that.
Yeah. I guess, was there, like, a... Did you, I guess, observe or experience, like, a rich culture of people from Nicaragua or, like, I guess, like, Latinos in this community? Like, did you see that? Did you experience it? Like...
You know, I experienced fear, actually. Hmm. Like, I didn't have... As I can say, you know, I have a lot of privilege and I can easily not worry about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I, working here, there was a nice lady that I was explaining to her, you know, sometimes I'm not here, can somebody else help you? And she was like, can you, you know, teach me how to, can I say deposit? And so I told her, deposit. She repeated, withdraw. Like, I'm sorry. And I say, do you know that in the library there is a nice program that you can use to learn a second language? And I use it. She's like, library? She didn't know. She has been in the U.S. for so many years and she didn't know. She's like, and I say, yeah, I will be in downtown today. I say, can we meet? Mm. It was like, we were going in circles around downtown. Like, they couldn't find the library. Oh. So we finally met, I think, like, close to Community Mennonite Church. And then we walked down to the library.
Okay.
Then I took her to the library, and we got a library card, and she's like, my son can use this, and how much do you pay? So it's not a membership. It's free. And we went and downloaded Rosetta Stone and the app and her cell phone, and I explained everything. Then she called her husband to pick us up. And then I remember seeing some bright lights flashing, and I thought, oh, there must be an accident. We were in the library maybe for an hour and 15 minutes, and then when her husband was coming to pick us up, those bright lights were, do you know Community Mennonite, like, on 42?
Yeah, like where it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So the following
entrance
is takes you through close to the White Ice House and all that.
Yeah.
So that was blocked. There was a police checkpoint.
Yeah.
And so her husband didn't have any documents. And so he was coming to pick us up. Mm-hmm. And then we got the phone call and all the stress saying, oh, you know, I think this is a checkpoint. And then I remember the lights, then you connect everything. I was like, oh my goodness. And he's like, and I cannot go back because one, you are in that street. How can you go back?
Right.
So he finally realized that he can turn into, I don't know how that road. It's a small road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Spanglers is there. I don't know. It's a store. And so he went there and he then walked. It was a nightmare. Oh. It was a nightmare. I ended up like trying to find him, then we found him, then I say, stay here, I'll go pick up the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I got pick up the vehicle. By then, I didn't have a citizenship. I was just a resident. I'm like, what if they stop me, and I don't know whose vehicle is this, you know? Where is the license? I don't know anything about this vehicle. Then I was in trouble.
Yeah.
Finally, thank goodness, I found a way to the back road that connects that road with 42. Then I was looking for them. The main point is, those people almost got deported for going to the library. So my easygoing experience with all the benefits and going wherever I want and travel wherever I want is not the same than all the immigrants and the community that can... That's why they just go to the poultry plant and work and go back home.
Yeah.
Because even going to downtown sometimes can be risky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's terrifying. Totally unfair. Do you speak Spanish at home with your children? Like
both, Sammy's pretty good.
Okay,
both of the kids are very pretty bilingual, and we usually go back and forth.
Yeah, okay. Are there any other like kind of cultural connections that you keep with them? Like keep at home?
They always do their prayers in Spanish like going to sleep and, and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because my mom and sister taught them that. And so they're it's like, oh, it's a prayer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes they talk to my mom and text her in Spanish and say, this was a good day, you know, and writing in Spanish and stuff like that.
Yeah, oh, nice.
But,
Do they, I know some of the schools do, like, the they do like the classes in Spanish. Yeah. Do you have them in those classes?
Okay. They are. Mm-hmm. Nice. They're both in the same program, in the dual immersion program.
Cool. Obviously, I'm sure you still communicate with your parents and mm-hmm. all that. Do they come and visit, like, often? Or
every year.
Every year,
they come every year and stay in 1.5 months or so.
Okay.
And then do you ever visit them?
I almost know, because I have been in the U.S. with the purpose of getting my citizenship. Mm-hmm. And now I got my citizenship, like, a month ago. Mm-hmm. But my certificate, my naturalization certificate, my name was misspelled, and just to fix that it's going to take like close to $600 and maybe between 6 and 13 months.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, wow. they haven't even sent me a letter saying that they have received the papers, and I sent it by overnight.
Yeah.
So I know they got the papers. And so I'm stuck in this country for the next 13 months without a passport.
Yeah.
And then when I never get it, I'll have to get my passport. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to Costa Rica for one of my classes, and I have to do something else.
Wow.
I cannot leave the country without a passport.
So you do have intentions of, obviously traveling, but going back to Nicaragua?
Yeah, we don't know yet if we are going back to Nicaragua. We are going to do like a service term, and that's usually between 3 and 5 years in one country.
Okay.
So we prefer to go to South America, maybe. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, we pretty much value for the kids to know that service is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's just like a really enriching experience, like, all around.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, travel is so important, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I guess, do you have any, I like this question, do you have any, like, advice for your younger self, maybe before you came to the U.S.? Is there anything that maybe now, after living here for however many years, like, being married for, what is it, like, almost over 10 years, you said, 2006,
almost,
you got married?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, what, like,
12
years, yeah.
Almost.
Is there anything that you would, like, say to, you know, college grad, like, to yourself, I guess? Any advice?
Once again.
So, I guess, like, after all this experience, you know, mm-hmm. leaving your country and all these changes, is there anything you've learned, any advice that you would give to your younger self, like,
just to be
experience.
Adaptable and
yeah.
whatever you are, just be yourself, learn the culture, it takes several years,
yeah.
and be open and be adaptable.
Yeah,
I think open-minded. I have to adapt so much in this job and in this culture, and what
yeah.
do you say and what you don't say, and
mm-hmm.
What are the rituals, and just be open. There's nothing that will prepare you for, you know, the different scenarios that you are going to face, but take it easy.
Yeah.
Always take it as a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I get really upset, I'm like, I'm definitely learning something from this
mm-hmm.
one. Don't take it personal. Sometimes I'm like, I should do anthropology, like learning cultures and study them. Everything is different, and every person, I don't know, have a way of expressing themselves, and that's not just about you. It's about a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned not to take anything personal and to always try to learn something from your experience. And, yeah, don't let it go to you. Learn something from that experience.
Hmm. Very well put.
So,
yeah. I don't think I have any more questions for you. Is there anything else you want to share? I mean, anything specific?
No, I hope that I didn't go, you know, from the...
No, you're good.
Too
that
too
was
far
great.
Away
yeah.
from,
oh,
from
no,
the questions.
No.
I feel like, hey,
no.
too many things
absolutely
that I don't
not.
Know.
Would you like a copy of the questions?
Yeah,
that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. We didn't ask all of them, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a... I was helping with this research about first and second generation of women in the United States and how they... relate with healthcare and how they can identify sexual abuse or domestic violence mm. and their house, especially with pregnant women.
Yeah.
Those were fascinating interviews. Because it is just so difficult. You don't have any resources.
Right.
Who do you talk to?
Right.
Yeah.
That's that's incredible.
Yeah.
It sounds fascinating.
If you don't have a community, yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess you are so vulnerable.
Right, you're so dependent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And when you don't have immigration in your size, like, you even feel afraid of asking for help outside and all the police, and what if they get to deport you?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, I have many blessings and included immigration because I have never had to struggle with them.
Mm-hmm.
With those.
Yeah.
So much privilege in my end too. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Dr. Choi asked if you had any photos you'd like to share for the website. If you don't, that's fine. But if you do.
Some people, it's like, you don't have to do this, but just an example, like, of your family, like, any documents or anything you feel comfortable sharing. I mean, those are just examples, but you do not have to.
I think I have a picture. Let me see if I can
pull
it.
Okay, yeah.
It's not, like, a fancy picture.
No, you don't have to. No, it doesn't have to be fancy.
He just, you know, it's, like, visually nice, so.
Let me see.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, here. I have it. I thought that I deleted it,
but I have it. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, yes. That's
so cute.
Yes.
Would you be able to email that to me?
I can email it to you.
Okay, perfect.